You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with actor Sean Gunn. Sean is perhaps best known for his work as both Kraglin and Rocket the Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy series. Sean is back in Avengers Infinity War, and we are so thrilled to talk to him about the challenges of his CGI work, what it's like acting in the MCU, and the scope of his latest film. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thank you so much for connecting with me, Sean. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on the success of the Guardians franchise and Gilmore Girls as well, although Gilmore Girls is sort of waiting for another revival. Yeah. But looking forward to Infinity War. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm very excited about it.
You know, obviously, what Marvel has done is just massive and unlike anything that has done before in so many ways. What is it that attracted you to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, first of all, needing work. honestly, it was when my brother got involved. I know that my brother James was at a point in his career where he was a little down on directing movies because it was such a hard job to get one of these big tentpole movies. And then when he ended up being up for Guardians, getting that job, I was totally ecstatic for him.
Now, you do Rocket, but you're also Kraglin in the franchise.
Yeah, that's right. I play Kraglin on screen. And I also play Rocket on set. So that kind of came about, during the first movie. He and I had worked together so much on various things in our career, and he knew that he wanted an actor that he knew and trusted and had worked with to sort of be able to play Rocket on set so that he'd have a real actor there to do it and not just, a tennis ball and a stick or a PA holding a script in their hand or something like that. And so he asked me to do it, and we ended up then kind of figuring out on the go what the method was for that to work. And it turned out that it was me basically just getting down on my hands and knees and playing Rocket just as though I was there and a raccoon. And it was really helpful to the other actors. It ended up being very helpful to the visual effects team, much more helpful than we, I think, even imagined, that they were able to use me for reference then when they started to animate the character. And then I think it was a matter of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So then, it worked so well for the first movie that I ended up doing it again for Guardians 2 and then for both Infinity War movies as well.
I am hesitant to ask this because I can feel the little red sniper dot on my chest as I ask this. But will we get to see Kraglin in Avengers, or is he off in the Guardians universe waiting for Volume 3?
Well, I can't comment on that one way or another, but I can tell you that it wouldn't... I really can't comment on
it. That's fair. One thing, actually, I wanted to ask you about this, too, since we're already talking about it. In Volume 2, you actually share screen time with Rocket as Kraglin. Yeah. How did you pull that off? What was that like?
Yeah, there are four different scenes, I think, in the second movie where Kraglin and Rocket are not only there together, but they both have dialogue. We would kind of shoot around each character and plug me in as much as we could. It was kind of I always think that the preparation and focus are the most important components to good acting on set. And I had to sort of double my preparation and double my focus on those days. It wasn't easy because, I can't really squat down as Rocket in Kraglin's wardrobe. So I was also having to do these costume changes where I would get out of my Kraglin jumpsuit, which is a little stiff and hard to maneuver in, and into my Rocket sweats.
Wow.
Which is just basically a tracksuit that I'm wearing. So, yeah, there I would just have to go back and forth. And we'd really have to take a little longer to shoot. And I would be doing the scene twice from the point of view of each character, yeah.
With Avengers coming up, with Infinity War, of course, we're hearing the tone of the film is, I'm hearing words like dark and emotional. Do you think that do you feel like this entry is different than other ones in the franchise? And by franchise, I mean, of course, the entire universe.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the movie yet, so I've got to say that. I've got to start with that. But I do think that it has a heaviness to it that I think is super cool. And that I think it's warranted personally. I mean, you can't have all these disparate franchises that then you're tying together under one massive banner and be sort of glib about it or something.
Right.
I think that these movies are going to be serious. Now, there's certainly plenty of comedy, though. I mean, you know, we have the Guardians in there. We've got, if you saw the last Ragnarok in there, we've got those nut jobs are running around. And I think there's a lot of laughs, but the overall tone of the piece, I think, is not super light, you know. I think fans will like that because it's pretty serious. You know, Thanos is serious business.
And one of the things, too, that we've been hearing since this was announced is the scope. The scope is just, from what we're hearing, is massive. How were they able to balance what's rumored to be somewhat like 40 or 50 characters at one point all in one film? That's an incredible, incredible task.
Well, I think that the fans are going to be the judge of that.
Fair enough.
At some point, you got to kind of like put your best foot forward and let the movie be what it is and say, hey, you know, what do you all think of how we did this? But, yeah, there are a lot of characters, and I think that that's handled, particularly over the course of the two movies, which,
right,
you know, if I can't talk about the first one, imagine how little I can say about the second one. We filmed them back-to-back.
That's what I was going to ask,
Yeah, and so there's still some additional photography to do for the second movie, as is always the case, and that will be later this year after the first movie comes out. But I think the way that issue was tackled of all these different characters participating in one story is really interesting, and I think it works really well. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what people think about it. It certainly is a lot of balls in the air to juggle.
One of the things that impresses me is that there really isn't a weak spot across the Marvel Cinematic Universe in many ways. You know, you've got all these incredible characters. So you want them all to feel justified in the film. Now, I understand that this is a huge responsibility to balance them, but moving from the Guardians set, which is an ensemble, to the Avengers, which is an even bigger ensemble, as we're talking about the characters, was there anyone that you were working with that you hadn't before that helped you develop your character or that you sort of connected with in particular for any of the new people that you met on set?
Yeah, I can't say who the new people are, but I can tell you that I did get to work with a lot of new people from the Avengers, and I think every actor in one way or another helps define who the character you're playing is. I mean, particularly from Rocket's point of view, Rocket has been in space, you know,
sure,
his whole life. He knows very little about Earth or the people who live there, other than what he knows through his friendship with Quill. So his whole relationship to Earth is through what Quill has told him. And so if he comes across any of these people from the Avengers universe, he has a very different perspective of them than any of us would have of them from down here. If anything, I think they're not quite so impressive to Rocket as they are to the average Earthling, you know? And that's always fun to play.
Now, you're playing Rocket, and Bradley Cooper is the voice, but does he do the suit, or is it you are Rocket the entire time? How does that balance?
Yeah, I play Rocket the entire time on set.
Right, okay.
So the suit, there is no traditional motion capture suit with the light bulbs on it for Rocket. And the reason for that is that Rocket is too different from a human to do those visual effects digitally. What they do instead is the animators take what an actor is actually doing, and then they just use that as a visual reference when they're animating the character. So I play the character on set. The visual effects team then goes in and they start to put together a draft based on what I did, based on, you know, arm movements, hand movements, and particularly my face. So facial expressions, things like where Rocket's looking, particularly if he's not looking at the, you know, if you look at it from the point of view of an animator, if you have one character speaking in a scene and you're trying to animate a CGI character and you have no idea, well, you may just have him stare at the person who's speaking the whole time.
Right.
But in real life, people don't do that. You know, people, their facial expression, their gaze goes in different places. So for just little things like that, the animators will use what I'm doing as a reference. But then later, Bradley Cooper comes in and he does the voice of the character, and they can change things then if they want to. He'll flesh the character out and sort of put his thing on it and kind of make the scenes. He'll sort of, I think, cement the scenes as to how they're starting to go. And then if they want to make some changes based on either what he's doing or some combination thereof, they can make those changes at that point as needed.
Really? Okay. We're actually going to speak with Terry Notary in a couple of weeks.
Terry is a hell of a talented guy.
Yeah, we're excited about that. Back to Guardians specifically for a minute here. Whereas the Marvel Universe sort of challenges what do the good guys do when they're faced with bad or the bad in them, the Guardians franchise seems to look for the good in the, quote, bad guys. I was wondering, how do you view characters like Rocket or any of the characters in the Guardians universe?
Well, I certainly don't view them as bad guys, but they're not motivated by altruistic qualities the way that the Avengers are, certainly. And so I don't know. I feel pretty intimately acquainted with those characters. But how would I put it? Yeah, they're not bad guys, but you know, in Guardians 2 particularly, Rocket he's not great. He doesn't steal the battery at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
You know? And he's got a lot to learn. But I agree with your premise that over the course of the movies, I think the arc of those characters is in learning to identify the goodness that's already inside of them. I think they've had lives that has always been, that have encouraged them to squash the goodness.
Hmm.
You know, Quill being with the Ravagers, Rocket being, you know, where he's been, sort of lonely most of his whole life. They've been encouraged to not think about the good inside of them so much. And so I think part of the movies is them finding that.
I love that Rocket's sort of emotional arc in the last film, actually, I thought was one of the ones that I found most attractive out of it, to be honest with you. I love that the scenes in prison, which other than the fact that, you know, Baby Groot dragging a desk was just amazing. But his character grows significantly in that film. And even though the film is sort of focused on Peter's journey, I really enjoy watching their characters grow and mature. It's really something special.
Yeah, I did too. And I think there's, you know, I haven't seen a script yet, but from talking to my brother, I think there's more cool stuff for all of those characters in the third movie as well.
Yeah, that's exciting. Just as we wrap up here, being involved in the MCU, this is certainly a massive franchise. Are there any other franchise that you wish you could dip your toe into or even return to a role that you've already had?
You know, I think it's fine that movies are headed in this direction where there's lots of franchises. You know, it's like the old serials. I try not to prognosticate or wish too much about where my career is going to go, because then you're only setting yourself up for disappointment. But I've been very, very lucky to work with incredibly talented people. With my brother in Guardians, with the Russos and everyone else that I work with on Avengers, which is, you know, the list goes on and on. But also with Amy Sherman-Caldino and her husband Dan on Gilmore Girls. They're such great writers, and I've been so lucky. And so I try to chase the words. I think story is king still. You know, good stories, good content still rule the day. And I just want to keep doing stuff like that. And I'd love to revisit Kirk on Gilmore Girls if we ever make more, which I don't think would happen anytime soon.
But, sure.
You know, I'd take a look at the character again at some point down the line. I'd love it.
He's a wonderful character, too. I love the Gilmore Girls show. I really do.
Oh, there's no shame in that.
I'm a Gilmore guy. I admit it. But thank you so much, Sean. It is such a rare privilege to get a chance to speak with you. And congratulations on the already success of the film. Because expectations, not just of the story, but I mean, we're hearing biggest opening weekend of all time rumors. It's just incredible. So,
well, I think it's a safe bet that it's not going to bomb. I'd probably be careful, but it's been nice talking to you, and I can't wait to actually see the movie. So,
all right, thanks so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thank you, Steve.